Meet or on the rocks? It's the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Joined now by the host of Send It In, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider PJ Glasser. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. PJ, good to have you back on with us. Thanks for making time for us in the Sports Bar. We've got a full slate of games this weekend to look forward to in college and pro football. Let's start with that old Red River rivalry. They're not in the same conference anymore. Actually, I'm wrong in that. They're both SEC schools yeah. Now. Taking my mind needs to calibrate a little bit, but we love this rivalry, of course, between Texas and Oklahoma. It just highlights a great weekend of college football ahead. How are you, PJ?
I'm doing great, guys. Yeah, awesome slate this week. Might be one of the best ones that we have all year in the regular season. And Texas and Oklahoma, I think, is going to be closer than what the line has at 14.5. It feels like whenever these teams have played over the last decade, you always come into this matchup, and it feels like one team's trajectory is heading up and the other team is heading down, right? And certainly Texas, number one team in the country. They've looked great so far. Oklahoma suffered the loss to Tennessee. They've had some close games against Auburn, Tulane, Houston. Their offense is a mess. But ever since they made the switch to the quarterback, Michael Hawkins, they've been a little bit better. Both teams are coming off a bye week. 9 of the last 10 meetings, guys, between these two teams in the regular season have been decided by 8 points or less. They played also in the Big 12 title game a couple years back. But these games are always close, obviously a great rivalry, and it feels like the underdog in this matchup always plays really well. I was talking earlier about feels like one team's always heading up in this game, one team's headed down. Keep in mind, too, Texas is Georgia next week, so maybe coming out of the bye week, not quite showing all their cards in this matchup. I like Oklahoma plus the points. I don't know if they can win the game, but I like getting the hook with the 2 touchdowns, 14.5.
Late afternoon window, PJ. This is the one a lot of people are going to be watching, particularly in our area, because Penn State isn't that far a drive. And are the Nittany Lions for real? This is one of those new opponents, new settings. The Penn State Nittany Lions in Los Angeles to take on USC, 3:30 on CBS. Penn State giving 5 on the road, over under at 50.5. PJ, how do you play this?
I like USC, guys, plus the points. I think Penn State's on upset alert as well. Something that I love in college football is when you have a marquee matchup like this and you look at what happened the week before, and when one of those teams lose outright like USC did to Minnesota, those teams usually always bounce back and play really, really well, right? So you look at USC, they have 2 losses this season on the road against Michigan and Minnesota. Very easily could have won both of those games. They're a good home team. They still got a good offense. Their defense is much improved. And for me, it feels like the same old Penn State. Their offense certainly does feel more modern. It feels more explosive. But this is what we wanted to see. We wanted to see them in a big game where the chips are on the line. They're going up against a good team. Guys, here's something also to consider as well. This is now the 9th game that's being played in the Big Ten where a team has to travel through at least 2 time zones, right? Yeah. Penn State obviously has to go from Eastern to what, to Pacific time zone. 1-7 straight up are those teams that have to go through time zones of 2 and more. So it's not been easy on these teams. We all wondered what it would be like, the new Big Ten and this geography from these schools on the West Coast going east and Midwest, whatever it may be, hasn't been kind so far for these schools. I think Penn State's going to struggle in this game. I like USC plus 5.5.
All right, here's another one of those new Pac-12 infused Big Ten games where you've got Oregon and Ohio State. What's your take on this one, PJ?
So I like Oregon plus the points, guys. I liked it a lot better at 4.5, obviously. I still like it at 3.5, anything over the field goal. I think Ohio State might be the best team in the country. I think they might be the most talented team. They're loaded all over the field. It just all comes down to the quarterback, Will Howard. And this is where we find out if he's the real deal. This is why Ohio State brought him in to be their quarterback, to take him over the top. Oregon this season, guys, you know, their first 2 games against Idaho and Boise, they didn't look great. And I think everybody, after watching those 2 games, just kind of wrote the Ducks off. They have been getting better their last couple games. And you know, in these big games, Dan Lanning's come up short in a lot of them, but all these games that he plays in are close. I mean, all these battles that they've had against Washington when DeBoer was there, they lost them, but all the games were 3 points. They're all tight. So I think anything over the field goal, I just mentioned, right, teams that are traveling, time zones, plus two, whatever it may be, have struggled in these spots. Night game at Austin Stadium, unreal environment. I like the Ducks to keep it close. I don't know if I'd take a money line, but I like 3.5.
Yeah, fantastic lineup we have here. And if you're bored with that game or maybe this time's out at halftime on Saturday night, you can switch over to Fox and see Iowa State in West Virginia. Cyclones giving 3 here on the road. PJ, I don't know how you're going to call this one. How do you see it?
I like West Virginia, Gene. I would take them outright, honestly. You're getting plus 3 at BetMGM, so key number there. I think that's good, but I think they win the game. Both of these teams are 2-0 in Big 12 play. Iowa State's undefeated. They're 5-0. West Virginia's 3-2, but both are unbeaten in conference play, so this is a monster game. Morgantown's just one of those places, guys, one of those venues. It's at night. It's a very tough place to play. West Virginia was very good in conference play last year. They match up well with Iowa State. Cyclones kind of want to play mistake-free football. They're well coached. They want to play good defense, run the football. West Virginia can play that kind of game too. I think their quarterback, Garrett Green, is going to be the difference in this game. I think it comes down to the wire, but give me West Virginia in a mini upset there, plus 3 and also plus 130 on the money line.
All right, let's shift gears to the NFL. Let's look at Sunday's action as we got the Texans fresh off their beating of the Bills on Sunday, taking on Drake May and the New England Patriots. PJ, what are your thoughts on this matchup?
Yeah, guys, this is one of those ugly dogs that I like this week. We know how well these big underdogs have been doing in the NFL, and this is one I like with the Patriots plus the points. Really don't know what to expect with Drake May. I think that could be in the Patriots' favor just because the playbook is wide open. There's not really much tape that Houston has to look at. Also, they're coming off that big win against the Bills, right? Game-winning field goal, emotional win. Think about the Texans, too, last season. That was a team that made the playoffs and won their division, but 2 of their losses on the road were to 2 of the worst teams in football, guys. They lost to the Panthers on the road. They also lost to the Jets and Zach Wilson on the road. So, yes, this is a team that's very good. And, you know, another year with C.J. Stroud, another year with D'Amico Ryans. But the Texans showed us last year, especially on the road, they can play to the level of their competition. They're 4-1 this season. They have a point differential of minus 5 as well, so they haven't been blowing anybody out. I just think this is too many points. Patriots are making the change to Drake May for a reason. They can't go with Jacoby Brissett anymore. I'll take New England with the key number of 7.
Yeah, PJ Glasser, who you hear on the Send It In show, BetQL Network, Monday through Thursday. We'll tell you more. You can get more PJ's content here. Here's a pop quiz for everybody. As which NFL game this week has the highest priced ticket on the resale market? And if you said Pittsburgh and Vegas, that's not correct, actually. The correct answer is actually Commanders and Ravens. $267. And PJ, I get this. I have a friend that lives in the Beltway, and you're down there. I would think there's a lot of hype for two teams that right now people are feeling really, really good about. And Washington hasn't been relevant since I don't know when. So from a betting standpoint, is there value here? Do you stay away? What's your thoughts here on Commanders and Ravens?
So if we're looking at the spread, guys, and you know I'm a Ravens fan, I come on here. I've actually liked a lot of their games the last 3 or 4 weeks. Like, I'm not a homer. I tell you if I like them. I tell you if I don't like them. I do kind of like them this week at minus 6.5. I actually think it would have been a great spot to fade them, coming off 3 really tough games against Dallas, Buffalo, Cincinnati, unreal game last week. Now it's a 1 p.m. CBS game. You're a big favorite. I think it would have been a nice spot to fade them, but with how hot the Commanders are and with how well Jaden Daniels is playing and with all the comps to Lamar going on right now and the fact that this is the Battle of the Beltways, the DMV, D.C., Maryland, Virginia rivalry game, I think it's going to bring the best out of the Ravens. And Lamar's 21-1 against the NFC. He dominates this conference. Harbaugh and the Ravens are 15-2 against rookie quarterbacks. They normally dominate young players. I know Jaden's on fire. Guys, the play that I actually like in this game is the under at 52. And I think it's going to scare a lot of people taking the under with the top two scoring offenses in the NFL and the way that both quarterbacks are playing right now. But you got to think about Jaden and Lamar are so tough to go up against because you can't scout them, right? You can't, like, prep for them. There's no one in any other locker room or any other team that has the skill set that those two guys do. But both defense have the advantage of playing against both of these guys every single day in practice, right? So when the Ravens go up against Jaden, they kind of know what they're going up against, and vice versa with the Commanders and the Ravens. So I like the under. You know, it's starting to drop a little bit too, which I think is telling you a lot. Game like this, I actually like the under, guys. That would be my play, under 52.
All right, let's talk a little bit of about a game that could be a points bonanza, and Lions-Cowboys, with the Cowboys getting that win on the road late on Sunday night.
I like the Lions minus three, guys, in this matchup. This is a revenge game right here. Anybody who watches a Lions game in Ford Field recently, whether it was in the playoffs, whether it's been a couple of the regular season games this year, you guys remember these two teams played at the end of the regular season last year, and there was a very controversial call with one of their linemen, Dan Skipper, who went to Brad Allen, and he told them that he was eligible, and we all saw it. He brushed across his chest, and he caught the touchdown, and they ruled it ineligible, and the Lions got screwed. And every Lions home game, if you watch the game and you listen to the broadcast, whenever Skipper checks in, they always, like, mock cheer, right? They always get excited. So the fans have been ready for this game. The players have been ready for this game. It's just a big-time revenge matchup. You also love spots in the NFL, guys, very profitable usually, when you get teams off of buys and they're going on the road because they're just more focused, right? Like, if you're on a bye and you're at home, all that extra distraction, you don't lock in as quickly as you would if you have to get on a plane and go to a different city. So they got that going for them, too. They're going to be hyper-focused. They've wanted this rematch against Dallas ever since that game late last year. And I think the Lions found something in that Seattle game. They started to look like the Lions team we all thought they would be heading into the season. I think this gets to 3.5, guys, by kickoff on Sunday, so I would grab the 3 now with Detroit.
Yeah, PJ, not coming off a bye, but they do get the extra rest. The Atlanta Falcons last Thursday night, hey, from a fantasy standpoint, yay, finally a show up there. That Atlanta offense we've been waiting for all these years. Now they go to Carolina, a Carolina team that has been up and down, and the Falcons are giving 6. Are you comfortable enough laying 6 points in Charlotte, PJ?
So, guys, I think this is going to be the upset of the week. I like Carolina plus 6. I like a money line plus 220. Think about Atlanta's schedule the last 4 weeks. Think about the fact that they've been in 3 primetime games, Monday against the Eagles, Sunday night against the Chiefs, Thursday night against the Bucks. Think about the fact that all those games came down to the wire. The Bucks game went to overtime. They also had that game against the Saints, a divisional matchup, where Koo had to drill a 58-yarder to win it. 4 straight weeks, guys. They've been in either high-profile games or they've been in a divisional game that have all come down to the wire, and they've all been close. And now you go on the road against one of the worst teams in football, and you're laying 6 points. I think it's a really, really nice spot for Carolina. You always like backing teams in the NFL that get blown out. They tend to play much better the next week. Carolina obviously just got blown out by Chicago. So I think this is a game that not a lot of people are going to want to bet because there are much more sexier matchups on the board. And, you know, the Panthers aren't that great. It's like, do you really want to lay 6 with Atlanta? But I actually think it's a really, really favorable spot and matchup for the Carolina Panthers. So, guys, I'd grab the 6. I'd take a money line as well. And for anybody out there that's somehow still in their survivor pools, I would stay clear of Atlanta this week.
All right, PJ, I've been waiting to get your take on, of course, the matchup we've been spending the majority of our time talking about, and it's a little bit more intriguing now with the news that we got yesterday of Robert Saleh being fired by the New York Jets at home Monday night against the Bills. Right now on BetQL, well, I mean, it varies, -2, -2.5, the Bills favored by under a field goal. What's your take on this matchup here coming up?
I think the Jets are a great teaser leg this week at +8.5. I think it's going to be a one-possession game. I think it goes back up to 3. I think you got to take the Jets. it's a tough handicap. Now with all this Sala news, you know, you generally love backing teams in that first game when they fire a coach. You get that emotional lift. They tend to play really well. It feels like, and I'm sure you guys can talk about this better than me, it feels like Josh Allen tends to struggle at MetLife a lot whenever he goes up against that Jets defense. I remember last year he had a bunch of turnovers there. So the Bills obviously have lost two straight. Allen's never lost three straight games in a row. You got to figure they're going to play well. I think they did find a little something there in that second half against Houston that they can build on. But, man, the Jets have one of the top pass defenses. And Buffalo, especially without Shakir, hopefully he's back on Monday, but they've really struggled without him. And they've struggled to throw the ball the last couple weeks. So I like the Jets plus the points, especially if it gets to three. Really is a toss-up of a game. I wish I could give you guys a definitive answer of who's going to win. You had to make me pick it just because of Sala getting fired. I'd probably take the Jets, but I would just bet this one on the spread, especially if it gets to three. I like the Jets plus the points. This game's coming right down to the wire.
Yeah, there's a lot of injury fog coming out of Buffalo today, and we didn't have Ed Oliver playing for the Bills last week, nor Khalil Shakir, but now come to find out, wait a second, James Cook not practicing today, some sort of toe/foot. Same thing with Curtis Samuel, although Samuel, he's been a zero as far as production this year, but in terms of Shakir and Cook, their status, PJ, is that enough to sway the line here, in your opinion?
It could be. I think Shakir is the big one. I mean, it's how important he is to Allen. He's kind of his security blanket. He's the veteran, especially amongst the receivers that he trusts. Look, I got Keon Coleman on my fantasy team, and I mean, you guys know. It's all boom or bust with him. He's got one or two catches every week, and it's usually like a 40-yarder. So he's kind of taking care of the Gabe Davis role from last season. Shakir, I mean, certainly he's nowhere near what Diggs was in his prime, but that's kind of what he's asked to be. He's the possession receiver. He's the number one guy. I think if he's out there, you might see some money pouring and this line go back up to three, but I would not bet Buffalo if he was out of the lineup. I couldn't touch the Bills if Shakir was not playing. So I think he is that important to the game.
I'm not going to ask you for any specific plays, but you're a sports fan like we are, so we're not going to ignore that we're in the middle of what might be one of the best postseason lineups we've had in Major League Baseball. I'm sorry about your O's, PJ. Have you sworn it off since the O's were eliminated, or are you still paying attention? And what do you thought? What are your thoughts on these four remaining series that we have here in the divisional round?
Yeah, guy, it's always tough, you know, when like your team loses and you just like it doesn't quite hit the same. But this postseason has just been so good. First time ever that all four divisional series were tied 1-1, which tells you how good that it's been so far. I didn't touch this Tigers-Guardians game going on right now. I love the Phillies coming up against the Mets. I think the Mets win that series in five games. But we just all know, even though the Mets feel like the team of destiny right now, they are not going to make it easy on their fans, right? It's just not what they're going to do. Even when they beat the Brewers. Even when they beat the Brewers, mm-hmm. They were up to, you know, Milwaukee was up 2-0 in that game. So, Gene, you know, even that game against the Braves, right? Game 161, when Atlanta came all the way back, and then the Mets, that's what they've been doing, guys. They don't make it easy. So I love them on Friday in Game 5, but I like Philly tonight to get the job done. I'd come right back with the Royals again tonight against the Yankees. I like the over in that Game 8. I think we see some offense, but I like the Royals to take care of business at home. And then give me the Padres tonight. Guys, I think the Padres are the best team in baseball. I really do. I think it's going to be Padres-Mets. NLCS, I think whoever wins that series is going to win the World Series. But the Padres are better. Their pitching staff, starting pitching bullpen's elite. Their lineup is on fire right now. Machado, Tatis, Merrill, all of them are hitting the baseball really well. So I think the Padres get it done tonight. Royals, and then Phillies would be my favorite play of the day.
What's the third baseman's name in San Diego?
Manny something, right?
Manny Machado!
March can't get here soon enough, PJ. We'll dial up another Baltimore accent bracket soon enough, buddy. Tell us about Send It In and what you got working every afternoon on the BetQL network.
Yeah, guys, 1 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern time every Monday through Friday. You can watch us on twitch.tv/BetQL, YouTube/Odyssey Sports. We're streaming live on the BetQL network. And it's basically like these interviews are, guys, right? We just go rapid fire. We run through all the sports. We give out picks throughout the day. So it's a lot of fun. It's interactive. So we encourage people to chime in and give their thoughts on what they like throughout the day. And show's been great, guys. You know I'm a March Madness guy, but October is maybe as good as it gets on the sports calendar. It's an awesome month. Everything's going on. So, yeah, hopefully people can tune in to Send It In.
Without a doubt. PJ, appreciate your time, and let's go Mets, buddy.
Absolutely. Good luck to your Mets, Gino. Good talking to you guys.
Right, you got it. PJ Glasser. He is the host of Send It In, an Odyssey Sports betting insider, and insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app.
Yeah, we're going to reserve our picks here for the Bills-Jets, but actually, I have to reserve my pick till Friday because I think that's actually a big deal. Like, if James Cook is not in the lineup, if Khalil Shakir is going to be out again, if you have a lineup, and Curtis Samuel will take him out, that you're going to be starting Mac Hollins opposite Keon Coleman with Ray Davis in the backfield? What are we doing here?
If you wait and you're somehow able to get the Jets plus a field goal, I feel pretty safe about that. I feel like, it could come down to a field goal. It could come down to the last possession. It could be tight. Like we saw week one last year when the Bills and the Jets faced off at MetLife. I want to believe that they're going to get things sorted out offensively as well. And no, James Cook certainly doesn't help that prospect. But there was something interesting that I saw. And when I saw it, I'm like, oh, my God. This is what every NFL team wishes they could do. And the Bills are not immune to it. The Bills will do it. I'll explain and tell you the team that continues to win with just a bunch of guys. The one thing being a differentiating factor that might be just a little bit different than what Buffalo has.
Okay. I'm still trying to figure out what team we're talking about here. Also, college football. We have this story. Is this real or not? This $9 billion proposal. It's almost like they like listen to the sports bar. $9 billion to unite
nine times
college football. Is this going to happen in our lifetime? Or not. I have my prediction on
this. All right, we're going to get to that. And don't forget, coming up, Jim Riley, the Barreled Up podcast, the Odyssey exclusive. We'll talk some Major League Baseball postseason here coming up at the 4 o'clock hour as well. Stay in the sports bar and join in if you want at 866-4326-585-866-4FAN.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.